Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
It's really good to be here. I'll invite you now to close your eyes. We have a moment of prayer before we go and start to share the word. Father, we come before you now, knowing that you are alive, knowing that you are here. And there's nothing, Father, nothing that we can do. Nothing that this morning we can do that can make any difference to anyone. But just one touch from you is enough to transform our lives completely. So it's not about performance or how much we can do today, but it's all about surrender. And we are here to surrender our hearts to you. We are here, Lord, of this Harvest Festival to celebrate how good you are. So, Father, help us to understand who you are and who you want us to be. Help us to be thankful to you for everything. But more than that, help us to understand, Father, that what you seek is a relationship with each one of us. That today, the biggest fruit that we can celebrate is eternal life that Jesus gave us. That is the reason why we are here, Father. So I bless every one of my brothers and sisters. And I pray today that we may understand your word and leave this place knowing more of you. That's why we pray, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know that I love children. That I have two in my house. No, it's no can say I have children. I love them. But I remember one day when I was in Gandhi, I asked in our Sunday morning service for Harvest, and I said, look, do you know why we have Harvest service? And a small boy just said, because we have cake after the service. I said, it's not quite that, the reason why we have a Harvest service. And then sometimes I wonder if we really know why we are here, or why we do a Harvest Festival or a Harvest Celebration. And you know that one of the men that really developed the Harvest in a way that we have today was John Wesley. John Wesley is the man that really transformed the way that people just said, thank you, Lord, once a year, and really start to develop a whole culture and a whole understanding of what was that. And you know, when that started in his life, started, I'll read to you. And by the way, if you want to know more about John Wesley and the history behind the Methodist people, I would highly recommend this small book to you. You know, it's very good. It's called The Roots of the Methodism. By Fitzgerald. It's fantastic. It's not very orthodox or what you would expect many times when you read about John Wesley, but it's the truth. This guy was fantastic. So, and he says, there is a story of the time which is more than a little suggestive about how Wesley came to understand Harvest. Returning late one night to his college, Wesley indulged in some merry chat at the expense of the college porter. Go home and get another coat, said he. This is the only one I have in the world, replied the porter. And I thank God for it. Go home and get your supper then, said Wesley. I have had nothing but a drink of water today, and I thank God for that, was the rejoinder. It is late, and you will be locked out. And then, what will you have to thank God for? Well, I will thank him for the dry stones to lie on. John, said Wesley, you thank God when you have nothing to wear, nothing to eat, and no bed to lie on. What else do you thank him for? I thank him, said the porter, that he has given me life and being, a heart to love him, and a desire to serve him. a passing incident, but it left a deep impression. John Wesley felt that this humble man had found something in God which he as yet did not possess. These and other influences from his mother led the young John Wesley to give himself wholly to the life to serve God and to understand what harvest was all about. You know, one thing that I love about Wesley is that he is not the kind of man that was ready. And let's be honest, none of us here, we are not perfect. None of us. Not even Malcolm, that's on a very not selfish willingness, gave cake to everyone last week when he bought a cake for us. You know, you're not perfect. I know some people may think that he didn't with a purpose, but he did. He wanted to give cake to everyone. And you know, we need to understand that we are not perfect. But we need to understand that harvest is not about to be perfect. Harvest and harvest celebration is not what the world understands, that we say thank you to God when everything is perfect. Or we say thank you when we have the abundance in our lives. Then we can say thank you. And then we will have peace when there's no more problems. And we will have joy when we have what everybody else has, plus eternity. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is not, you have what everybody else outside thinks we must have, plus heaven. No. Harvest is to understand that I already possess everything that I need when I find in God all the blessings and peace and joy and provision that I need. So I don't need to be have 100,000 pounds in my bank account. I don't need to have 100,000 pounds in my bank account to really be able to say thank you, Lord. I don't need to have plenty of food and money in my bank and a nice retirement pension waiting for me and all other things that everybody outside thinks is necessary to have a nice life, to then be thankful to God. That's not harvest. That might be anything in different languages, but that's not what God intended for us. I don't need to have plenty of everything to be able to say thank you. I just need one thing and one thing only. To understand that He gave us a heart to worship Him. He gave us a lot more than what we need. That's it. I don't know how much you have, but I can tell you, you have a lot more than you need. Look, you don't know my life. I don't. But if you are in this place today, I can tell you, you have a lot more than you need. I went to Peru on the desert, in the north of Peru, near the Atacama Desert. That is the driest desert in the whole world. And when I went there to preach once, I just drove like 2 hours in the middle of the desert. And you know, just an empty and the most poorest place. Even in Africa, I never found any poverty like I found over there. And I was on that place. And I went there and I preached to some people. And you know, in the middle of the sermon, I need to confess that I'm very carnal sometimes, I think. And I was preaching and I was thinking, Lord, you know, this message is good, I think. You might disagree with me after this in my sermons. But I was thinking, Lord, you know, this message I think is good, but they need a lot more than that. How can I give food to them? To people that a great delight is when they have rats to eat for dinner. A deep poverty, no electricity, no water, no clothes, and not even the expectation to have that. Not even like when we go to Africa, we go a lot of times to Africa, but you know, they might find food tomorrow. It's not this kind of poverty, that poverty with no hope in my eyes. And I said, Lord, how can I help them? And when I finished to preach, I did an altar call and everybody came. And after I finished to preach, the people came to me and said, can you preach it again? And I thought, okay, maybe they didn't quite understand my message. No, you know, they just want me to repeat. And I said, but why do you want that? And he said, Louis, for the last 6 months, we were praying and fasting for God to send someone to preach for us. We don't have anyone to preach for us. We don't need your money. They said that to you. We don't need anything else that you want to offer. The only thing we need is that you give us every energy that you have teaching us about God. Because that's the most important thing. And I preached, my friends and I, 6 sermons, one after the other, on that after. And they were delighted. Not by the quality of the sermon, but because they understood that they just needed one. And I was so embarrassed when I left. I was embarrassed because I still think that I need a lot more than that in my life. I still think that to develop my ministry well, I need a lot of things. And in fact, I need to confess, the only thing we need is God. The only thing to have a nice harvest we need is to know Him, because He is our harvest. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is our provision. You know, one of the names of God in the way that the Jewish people call it is El Shaddai. And you know what that means? Shad in Hebrew is literally breast. And the way that the Jewish people understood is in the same way that a baby just needs the milk of their mom to grow up. We just need God. So the God that feeds us is God El Shaddai. The one that brings manna if we need. The one that will bring food if we need. The one that multiplies like He did last night. Multiplying food for everyone that came. And desserts to the point that we have today as well, some cakes. And you know, God is the one that does everything. But sometimes we just have that and we're still thinking that we need a nice pair of shoes to be able to then thank Him. And He said, I gave you life. Abundant life. And you're still complaining about few things that in your mind you don't have. Then you're not able to really have a gratitude in your heart. We need to learn with that boy. For me, the boy of John chapter 6 that our sister read so good, he is the example of harvest that we need to understand. And the few things we need to learn with him. The first thing that to have a nice harvest, and he understood that, we need to understand that no one leaves Jesus' presence with any need. You know, a lot of people were coming, thousands of them, and just men, the Bible counted. And then Philip ran to Jesus, and he was very good with numbers, and said, Jesus, let me tell you something, there's nothing for them to eat. 8 months' wage for one bite each. Let's be honest. I don't know what do you think about food, but one bite would never feed me. Jesus, 8 months for one bite each. But Jesus, you know, no one leaves my presence with any need. Don't worry. I'll not give what they want, only I'll give what they need. That's why sometimes you see in the Bible, people coming to Jesus and say, Jesus, can you heal me? Your sins are forgiven. And people say, why Jesus does that? Because He doesn't do just what we want, but what we need. Amen. Then He says, not just healing, but forgiveness for eternal life. Go and live the life that I have for you. And then Jesus knew that no one will leave my presence in any need. Go! Just what you want to do for them. Oh Lord, let's send them home. That's not what Jesus does. Jesus will never say to you, I'm too busy, sorry. We are too full here, sorry, can you come back tomorrow? Or, you know, someone came to me last night in Virginia and said, oh, we are almost full, what do we do if someone else comes? I said, we just hug them and say, please come. I'll give my seat to them and my food to them. And just get the moment we don't have any curry or anything else, we call pizza. International. Spanish, all right? Italian. Jesus never, ever allowed anyone to live with any need. Not what we think we need, but what we really need. I remember when Daniel and I, we got married. I had a company, and after 1 month that we were married, I surrendered my life to Christ. And I had a company, and I was doing business administration in one day, and then the next day I just left everything because I wanted to be full-time in ministry. And then came a very hard time for us. We didn't have the boys, person, but a very hard time that we didn't have what to eat, really. My parents have a very good condition. Daniel's family has a very good condition in Brazil, but God said to us, don't say anything. It's a time that you need to learn by yourself, guys. And really, sometimes we sat on the table and we just had one glass of milk for that day. And we knew that was one call to my parents or to her mom, and they would provide. But every time we prayed, God said, not today, just trust. And I remember that one day, after, you know, Dan was doing visits to her mom on lunchtime most of the days, you know, just, hey, I'm to visit you. Oh my God, I'm with you, you know, those things. But I remember one day we were talking about that, and God said very strongly to our hearts, He said, why is that to complain? You start to think. And what about to worry? You start to pray for what you think you want. And we did that. We put our knees on the floor and said, Lord, first of all, we thank you. We thank you because we have a lot more than we need. But Father, I would like to confess to you. Maybe you want to treat our heart, but today I really would like to drink Coke. And this. And that. And then we shared with the Lord like a list of things that we would like to eat on that day. He said, Lord, maybe what we will listen from you is, my grace is enough. You have water and milk. That's it. We still thank you, but we just like to share with you. We finished prayer. Someone knocked on the door of our house. And said, look, I'm not saying anything. I have no idea. But I was in a supermarket and God put in my heart to buy stuff for you guys. And this is a box that I made for you. And the first thing that I saw was a Coke. Even some brands like Mayo, specific brand that we prayed 10 minutes before God treated us. I'm not saying that you go home and put your knees on the floor and start to pray for sirloin meat. And then people will start to knock at your door. Please understand that. What I'm saying to you is that I don't know your need. Someone on the door. I don't know your need, but...
Would you know only how these donations from Zion?
Minimum. No one had anything to eat. And then I come to this age that no one had anything to eat, even you. And probably a lot more hours before we reach somewhere that we can eat. What do you want to do with your sandwiches? Amen. Well done. But the thing is, to be honest, not you, many people would think, you know what? I think I'll eat one Big Mac now. And one Big Mac in the evening. Or I can eat something now and give something to my brother, to my mom, or to my relative. And no one would really think the person is horrible, right? Because you have to eat, and your family and your friends and your closest friends have to eat. That boy understood one thing. And that's a principle for harvest. God does, and He starts with what we are willing to offer. What can you offer? What can you allow Him to start with? Multiplication is with God. Offering is with us. Lord, I'll put this to your disposal. Remember our prayers of covenant service? To your disposal. And then He can start to work with. I remember someone that came to me once when I was in Brazil and said, I really don't like the way the worship is going now. And I thank God because people just complain about worship in Brazil. Not here or Guernsey or anywhere. But I remember, and then this person came to me, and let me tell you something. He was one of the most skilled person that I ever met in worship, remember? He's the best guy of accordion, you know accordion? In Brazil. But he didn't play in church. Because, you know, pastor, a lot of excuses. Or reasons for something. And then he came to me and said, but you know what? I don't like, we have to do different. I said, are you willing to offer your gifts to the greater good of this church? Or will you just complain about the rest of your life? No, pastor, let me tell you. I said, no, let me tell you. God is willing to do. What are you willing to offer? And then he joined the worship. And it was a blessing. And things were transformed. Sometimes we look and we see situations and areas in our church, in our families, and many things are not perfect. Welcome to where humans are. Things will never be perfect. One day will be perfect. You know when? Amen. Praise the Lord. When we get there. But the things are, you know when God will change. You know that today, 2.2 billion of people on the planet Earth never heard the name Jesus. I'm not talking people that listened and decided not to surrender their lives. I'm saying people that never heard this name before. 2.2 billion, one third on the planet, never heard about Jesus. What are you willing to offer to change that? I'm not saying money, don't worry, don't hold your pocket. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, are you willing to offer 1 hour of your time to pray for us? Maybe something to help Mission Ventures, to help this person, or maybe something else. I don't know. But you will need to understand that. The principle of harvest is God will do with what we're starting to offer to Him. Time, skills, gifts, prayer, energy, and anything else. Are you willing to offer something to the areas that are not great? As you think, or not. Because if you are, let me tell you, revival already started. Because revival is not just about noise and miracles. That's a part of revival. But revival is when people start to give everything to God. Their lives and every breath that they have to say, Lord, do it. Do it. Use me. Do it. And to finish, don't say hallelujah. You know, I was in one service once, and I said to someone, I said, look, I said to a group of youngsters, I said, now look to our last point. And they said, hallelujah. I said, that's not really the kind of thing we want. But, so Jesus The third thing, Jesus always do immeasurable more than what we can expect.
Always.
But just to come to a point, I need two volunteers. And I know Jen Moran offered herself, so please, Jen, can you come? And Maria, can you come as well? Maria, you need to hold on this blue arrow. And you need to take a little bit of cereal and try to eat it. And then Jan will do the same later. The thing is, you will just leave here when both of you have eaten a little bit. Or at least one of you have eaten a little bit. So let's try. Yeah? And number? No? How do you think that Jen can eat? Because she will have the same problem. Great. Amen. Sometimes we take things and we try and we spend so much to do things for ourselves and to ourselves and it never works. We spill all around. But if we decide to feed the other, to bless them, to help the other, then everyone will be fed and everyone will hear this message and everyone will be blessed. You know, the gospel message is, if you want to leave, die. Mm-hmm. You want to die, leave. Do you want to have? Give. Because as much as you give, as much as the Lord will give you. Because we are all channels of God's grace and love. So the way to bless others and everyone to be blessed is not to try to look what is good for me and try to at all costs to have my needs satisfied, but to bless others and to have others satisfied and blessed.
Thank you very much.
So the thing is, Jesus always do immeasurable more than what we can expect. You know, I thought, can you imagine Philip thinking 8 months' wage for everyone to have one bite, and all of a sudden they start to take and collect what was left, 12 baskets full of things. 12. Not one. 12. I imagine him thinking, the thing is, for me that was just a way to Jesus show them, look, I don't want just to give you a miserable portion of life for you just about to be alive. I have abundant life for you guys. That's what Jesus was trying to say. I'm not trying just to show you that I can almost supply your needs. That's a symbolism of God's faithfulness and blessing to each one of us. So God doesn't want you just to have a little bit of joy to avoid a miserable life. God wants you to have abundant life in every area of your life, in every aspect of your life. That's all about what God can do. Immeasurable more. Immeasurable more. In the presence of God, there is joy. What is joy? It's not just that feeling that comes once a year when I receive a gift from Christmas. It's not that what God is talking about. Even because joy is not a circumstance, it's a fruit of the Spirit that comes when we have a relationship with Him. Harvest is a way to God show us that He's not care about portions or limitations or any other thing that we may say to Him. There is an abundance of life to each one of us that is just complete when we understand that Jesus is our harvest. Amen?
Amen.
If Jesus is our harvest, there is no need. Because we already have Him in fullness. We already have God in fullness. I would like to invite you now to close your eyes. And I would like to invite you just to reflect for a second about your life, your harvest today. What do you have to celebrate? Or what do you have to maybe say to the Lord? It's harvest. We brought our gifts. We celebrate the blessings. But today God is asking more than just gifts. God is asking our heart. Are you willing to give your heart to Him? Are you willing to know Jesus, not just to listen about Him? Are you willing to go on this amazing and adventurous way with the Lord? This journey of life. This is a journey of blessing. This journey that is never boring. That is never just one more day. But it's full of life and miracles and blessings. And it's just incredible. It's so incredible that we cannot even describe how it is, the Bible says. If you want that today, I would invite you to say that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want that. On this harvest, Lord, I'll give you my heart. On this harvest, Lord, I'll give you everything. Everything. And please, Father, transform the watering wine in my heart. Bring the joy, Lord. The joy not in things, but the joy to have you. And allow you to be my harvest. And the greatest joy of my heart. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless my brothers and sisters here. And I pray that everyone on this place may be so impacted by your grace, by your mercy, by your love, that we may understand that what you want, Lord, is not just activities, but you want relationship with us. And that when we have this relationship, miracle will not just be something that happens sometimes, will be part of our relationship. And we will listen, and we will speak, and you will be our harvest and our greatest joy. So help us to know you, to surrender ourselves to you, and to understand that the way to have all that is also to give all that to us. So Father, surprise us. Surprise us. And bless us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.